Hey, thanks, Pastor Zach and team, and thank you for you staying with us and watching online on this special Independence Day weekend. This is a time when we celebrate America.
Yeah.
It's so unique because it's about the birthday of our great country.
Yeah.
And I don't think anybody would say, Bobby, that, you know, things are just great in America. But let's face it, it's still the greatest nation on the planet. Mm-hmm. And the entire world looks toward what we do.
Absolutely. There's something about Independence Day.
Yeah.
Right? There's this day that they signed the Declaration of Independence, said this is the day that we are our own nation. There's something about going on record like that.
That's right. And so part of the record, as we continue the story about David, is so David has gone through this overwhelming series of events, and he realizes that Saul, the king, is chasing him to take his life.
Yeah.
And in the middle of that, David winds up with this handful of warriors that we know as David's mighty men, found in 2 Samuel chapter 23.
That's right.
And in this chapter, in this particular section we're teaching today, David calls out three leaders that are just incredible people. And I guess when you look at it through the sense of America and where we're at and where we could be and where we can go, it will take leaders like King David. It will take leaders like, in this case, General David.
Yeah.
It will take leaders like these three men that he calls out that are like his inner core.
Yeah.
And what are the characteristics of these people that truly could look American?
Yeah, so as you're watching today and you're asking the question, how does this fit in my life? I really believe, and I know you believe this as well, God takes ordinary, normal people.
Yeah.
In fact, when David first meets these men at the end of 1 Samuel, they're actually Saul's rejects. They're the people that didn't make the cut.
That's right.
And yet, by the time we read about them, one book later, they've gone from being rejects to some of the mightiest warriors on the planet. So if you've ever felt like maybe God can't use me, if you've ever wondered, do I have what it takes, I want you to listen to today's teaching through the filter that God can take anybody that is sold out to him and take anybody and turn them into somebody for the kingdom.
Absolutely. The one thing about David that I think is fascinating is, you know, the world didn't know anything about him. And yet here is a guy, he kills a bear, he kills a lion, he kills a giant. I mean, this guy's doing incredible things, and the king didn't even know who he was.
Right.
He was this kid that was out there tending sheep. Mm. And, you know, the big aha maybe for as we kick off today is the fact that the world didn't know him because David wasn't spending his time building a platform for himself.
Yep.
David was doing what God had asked him to do.
He was behind the scenes,
just
being faithful.
Yeah, and being faithful led him to becoming the man that we know now as the man after God's own heart. Matter of fact, everything we learn through the life of King David is a matter of the heart, including today. So when he first flees Saul, he's all alone. Mm-hmm. And if we're not careful, we'll look at a story through a Bible character like David and think, wow, he's all alone. But like all Bible stories, God didn't make any of us to be Lone Rangers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these people that came around him are a part of the story.
That's right.
And when you look at what life is throwing at you and the battle that you're waging with this world, you can't do it alone. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just literally impossible.
Yep.
You know, I can almost hear Adrian in the Rocky movie saying, you can't do it, you know? And I think sometimes a reminder is, we're not built to do it alone.
Yeah.
So David has these guys, and he trusted in them. Mm. He invested in them. He forgave them. He empowered them when Saul, the king, never would. Mm-hmm. That's why they became rejects. Mm. But nobody said, wow, look what you could be.
Right.
So David takes these guys, and he doesn't pick them from their outward appearance, just like he wasn't picked for his outward appearance.
Yeah.
He picked these guys because they had a heart to come serve.
Absolutely.
Just like Samuel had anointed him because God said, that's him. And so I want to encourage you with this thought. God, when he does a work in your heart, he doesn't just change you, he changes those around you. And you begin to see this in this ha-ha that David's relationship with his men shows us, Bobby, that this is how God welcomes us. Mm. He forgives us, he empowers us, he strengthens us. And humans, we tend to measure one another. I mean, I'm grateful I have a kind of relationship with you where I think we call out the best in one another. And we're honest with one another. Yeah. We kind of, you know, it's like, well, come on, we can do this. But not everybody has that.
Right.
Because in humanity, we tend to measure everything on past and present. Mm. But God has the ability, just like David did with these guys, he was empowered by God to see through us and into us, to see our heart, not just our past, not just our present, but our potential.
I love that.
Yeah.
When God looks at you, and we saw this even on night one of camp, God looks beneath the surface.
Yeah.
And even on morning two of camp, God sees what could be, what should be. He sees inside of you.
That's right.
What maybe nobody else sees.
Yeah, that's so true.
So today, we're just going to give you a couple of the characteristics of somebody that God wants to use today.
Yeah.
The first one is this idea of tenacity and grit.
Yeah.
In 2 Samuel 23, verse 8, it says this. It says, these are the names of David's mightiest warriors. So they go from rejects to being the mightiest warriors. It mentions this first one that has a crazy name, Jeshoabim. Is that how you say it?
I say Jeshobeam.
Okay.
But you can say it anyway. Why don't we go Josh?
Here's what he says. He was the leader of the three, the mightiest three, among David's men. He once used a spear to kill, look at this, 800 enemy warriors in one battle.
That's a bad boy. I want him in my foxhole. So somebody did the math on this. It wasn't me. At one per minute, that means that he fought for 13 and a half hours straight to take out 800 men with a spear.
That's right.
I mean, that's some tenacity, right? I mean, this guy, Josh, had tenacity. He had perseverance. He didn't just start with a bang. He finished the drill. I mean, he wasn't the guy that had a great game plan for the first quarter.
Yeah.
I mean, in the last of the fourth quarter, when everybody else was giving up, he was still at it, finishing the drill.
So it's not how we start. It's how we finish.
Right.
And so in God's economy, there's something about us finishing what God has called us to do.
Absolutely.
That takes a lot of tenacity. And a second characteristic is also courage.
Right. So then comes this guy, Eleazar. Right? And it says then in verse 9, next in rank among the three was Eleazar. And once Eleazar and David stood together against the Philistines when the entire Israelite army had fled. Everybody had left, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it says he killed Philistines until his hand was too tired to lift his sword. And the Lord gave him a great victory that day. And the rest of the army didn't return until it was time to collect the plunder. Now, as the story goes, this guy fought so long that literally his hand had gripped the sword and it had tensed up. They had to pry it away.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy had some courage.
He had courage when everybody else left.
Yeah.
And so after he wins, then all of his buddies show up. Have you ever had people like that take the credit?
So here's what I hear this, like, listen to sports talk radio. I'll hear people call in and talk about our team and what we did.
Yeah.
And it's like, bro, you weren't even near the field.
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of like
nachos in your hand.
Yeah, exactly. Like you were eating a hot dog while those guys were getting it done.
We won. No,
this guy got out of the cheap seats, got down on the field, and took care of business. I guess the question that we'd ask ourselves about courage is, are we like a fair weather, courageous person? Are we a fan?
Yeah.
Or are we on the field?
Yeah.
Like, do we have enough courage to believe that God has equipped me, empowered me, strengthened me, that I can get in the mix and trust him to do something through me? Or do I just want to stay on the sidelines and criticize everybody that's on the field?
Mm.
You know, Eleazar had enough courage to say, I'm going to trust God. I'm going to step in as a warrior, and I'm going to take care of God's business.
One of the other characteristics that sticks out is the sense of conviction.
Oh, man, yeah.
So when you look at verse 11, we read this. It says, next in the rank was Shema, the son of Agi. And it says, one time the Philistines gathered at Lehi, and they attacked the Israelites in a field full of lentils. Now, I don't know if you know what lentils are. They're beans, legumes, whatever. Yeah. Not that important, but there's the principle behind it. They're in this field of lentils, and it says the Israelite army fled, but Shema held his ground in the middle of the field. He beat back the Philistines, so the Lord brought about a great victory. This bro, because of the principle of it all, was willing to defend a field of beans.
Now, think about it. I mean, there's a book that sold millions of copies. Don't Sweat the Small Stuff. Mm. And you know, the concept's good, right? But spiritually speaking, the small stuff really matters.
Yeah.
And so this guy, you know, he truly understood there was a conviction of what belonged to the Lord.
Mm.
And, you know, he wasn't going to allow evil to overcome what was the Lord's to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
And even if it was just a field of beans,
he
had the ability to see, wait a minute, my convictions are solid.
Yeah.
Therefore, I'm going to stand on it. And no, I'm not even going to give a field of beans away.
That's right.
I'm going to take care of this. I knew what belongs to God. We all want to win on the big stage,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, I hear preachers say a lot, you know, I want God to give me a great ministry.
Yeah.
I heard a great reply to that one time, which if you want a great ministry, you need to learn to minister greatly.
Mm.
You know, and then Jesus comes along and says, you know, if you want to be great, then here's the formula, serve other people.
That's so good.
Right? So this guy had enough conviction to say, I'm not going to let them take my king's plunder,
mm.
even if it's the small stuff. Yeah. I'm going to stick with it. So when you think about America on this weekend and you look at these characteristics, I wonder if we've lost sight of our convictions.
Yeah, I think so. I think sometimes we think when somebody has convictions that they're maybe being judgmental or angry or mean.
Right.
But that's not the same thing,
no,
is
no,
it?
No, 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 no. I really do, Bobby. I saw something the other day that where I was reading that said, you know, it's okay to disagree. Mm-hmm. It is even okay to vehemently disagree. But a disagreement doesn't mean that you're bigoted. It doesn't mean that you're angry. It doesn't mean that I need to fight you or I need to cut you out of my life. Mm-hmm. That there is a line in which Jesus steps in and says, have a conviction, but convey that in decency, love, honor, and graciousness.
I've heard you say, maybe on the Positive Talk podcast, that you can disagree without being disagreeable.
Absolutely.
You can still show love.
And I wonder if America, have we turned convictions into battles instead of convictions being in our heart? Mm. You know, because anybody can wage war with a keyboard.
That's right.
But to convey love and graciousness takes convictions that are deep-seated. Mm. I mean, anybody can flip somebody off.
These are all characteristics that God takes in somebody that maybe feels like normal, they feel like nobody, and God uses them to make them mighty men. This last one, I think, is so powerful. This last one is this idea of devotion.
Devotion. Again, going back to America.
Yeah.
If we started with devotion.
Yeah.
To the king.
Yeah.
Now we're not talking about devotion to America. We're not even talking about devotion to the president or the cabinet or the senate or congressman.
Yeah.
But devotion to the King of Kings, to the Lord of Lords.
So David's in this cave. He can look out. He can see Bethlehem where he grew up.
Right.
He sees the enemy has taken it captive. And as David's in that cave, he's thirsty, his throat is dry, and he knows just inside that city, there's this well, there's a spring of water.
Right.
And it's almost like he's thinking it so much, man, I wish I had a drink of water. I wish I had a drink of water. It's almost like he's thinking it so hard. He says it out loud without meaning to, oh, what I would give for a cup of water.
But can't you imagine him? It's not like he gave a command.
It wasn't a command.
He's just thinking out loud, you know? And this well, by the way, you do a little research on it, you realize that there was a sweetness to this water.
Okay.
It wasn't just, okay, I'm thirsty. It was, I'm thirsty for that water.
So it was Propel water.
Yeah, exactly.
All right.
Yeah. I'm thirsty for that water. So he's just, man, I'd love to have a cup of that water. And this is interesting. These guys, being so fully devoted to their king, they die to do anything for him. Mm. I mean, their devotion was, you know what? I want to please you.
Yeah.
I mean, he didn't say you have to.
Right.
Out of their love, they decided, yeah, I want to honor you. So we're going to go get you that water.
So they end up risking their lives, right? They end up sneaking behind enemy lines.
Yeah.
They scoop out from this well a cup of water. Somehow they make it back to the cave where David is without getting caught by the enemy, literally risking their lives for a cup of water. They
and
give
without
it
spilling
to David.
It.
And what do they end up doing?
Oh, listen, David gets it. And this is maybe the most important and impactful part. He doesn't dishonor them. I mean, I'm just imagining how he welcomes them and says, oh, I can't believe you guys. Wow.
Yeah.
That is awesome.
Going away.
Thank you for your love, for your kindness. But then he offers it to the Lord.
Yeah.
As opposed to, I'm just going to gulp it.
Yeah.
I mean, literally, he offers it as a gift.
It's almost as if David realizes they've just risked their life.
Yeah, that's right.
They've done this impossible thing. Who am I to take this thing that they sacrificed for? So not in a way of disregarding them, but as an act of worship. He said, God, you're the only one that's worthy of this kind of sacrifice. And my friends, that's devotion, right?
Yeah,
that's what true worship is.
That's
worship
right.
is when we show how worthy God is of our affection, our attention, our lives. These are fantastic characteristics that any one of us could live out.
I mean, when I think about this, maybe the biggest part of this story is that in David, on this side of the story, we can see that that's the work of Christ as our king. Mm. Like where these guys wanted to honor their king, then our devotion is to be focused toward Christ, our king.
Yeah.
And so when you think about their bravery or their tenacity or their devotion or their obedience, what did that lead to? It led to David offering it up to the Lord as a gift.
Yeah.
And I think that's what we're to bring.
Yeah.
Our tenacity, our devotion. We're to bring that as a gift to the Lord. I mean, the story in the New Testament where Mary anoints Jesus and the disciples are freaked out about it. And Jesus says, leave her alone. She's done a good thing.
That's right.
Right? It was a gift unto the Lord. Paul, just as a wild man, becomes the author of most of the New Testament and goes from a terrorist to an evangelist.
Yep.
And it's a gift unto the Lord. And I guess the thing we have to ask ourselves is, about 1,000 years later, about 1,000 years later, a cup of water offered to the king, Jesus said, this is what it means to me. As you've done this for the least of these folks, you've also done it for me. Great is your faithfulness, as great is your reward in heaven. And you know, when I look at that and I think, these guys didn't wait for a poll to say, what should we do? They didn't wait for, okay, what was public opinion going to sway toward? They took that courage, that tenacity, that devotion, that took that obedience, everything that was wound up in that, and they decided to give it to the king out of love.
That's right.
You know, all those things were built out of love.
Yeah.
I mean, as a little boy, you know, one of the things I wanted to do most was I wanted to please my dad. Today, I want to please the Lord. I want to be that kind of person with courage and devotion. I want to be that kind of person that has tenacity.
That's right.
And I believe if America could look at these skills as opposed to how good your social media platform is or how many books you sell or how many people are in an arena to hear you and say that this is what it looks like. Because these mighty men, Bobby, they had one commonality. They were completely sold out.
That's right.
They were completely committed. There was no debate. That's right. I mean, they were in for the W. They were in for the king. They gave everything they had. But if you notice in the story, King David, even though he wasn't king then, was already anointed to be king.
Yeah.
He didn't ask these guys to take unnecessary risks. Right. He didn't ask them to go. He literally never said, will you die for me? But their love caused them to be willing to. And this is what it's like to follow Christ. He's not going to force this on you.
Yeah.
He's not going to make you bow down to him. He's going to give you the opportunity to offer your tenacity, to offer your courage, to offer your obedience, and to offer your love. And when you do, the same things happen. Like I read in preparation for this chapter, especially talking to the students about this, I read this, and I want to make sure I read it well here, and that is, you know, when the Apostle Paul writes in the New Testament, you can do all things through Christ Jesus, he knew that in Jesus and because of Jesus, these men in your life, our life, we are called to be winners, to be invincible, to be indestructible, because we were built because of Christ's love and gift to us to be eternal. And when you think about that, this is a quote from John Knox from a million years ago. Give me 10 men who fear nothing but sin and desire nothing but God.
Yeah.
And I'll shake the world. And I think to myself, friends, as for me and my house, and I pray for yours, we would choose to serve the King of Kings, the Lord Jesus.
Yeah.
And so on this day, when you look at the qualities of these men as they serve their king, I'm grateful I get to serve with a guy who I think you have all those qualities, you know? And I get to see it, like, up close. And I just think to myself, maybe today, wherever you're at, on vacation, in your home, sitting by the pool, wherever you're watching this, that you might ask the Lord for those qualities to reveal themselves in you.
Yep.
Because I guarantee you, if those three men were standing here with us today, they would say, I didn't have it until I trusted the king, and he gave it to me.
And there's a king that sees you.
Yeah.
And he doesn't see you as you are or as you were, but he sees you as you could be.
Amen.
And what started with these men was a ragtag group of people.
That's right.
But the moment they said, I'm all in.
That's right.
Something amazing happened. What would you say? There's a lot of us that maybe don't feel like God could use us. As we wrap up today, what would you say to folks that feel like a ragtag bunch of people? What would it look like and how would you pray for them to be all in for the king?
You know, my prayer for you would be just like I would pray for us. And that is, that we would recognize God picks us as normal, regular people. And because of him, he can do extraordinary things in us, for us, through us, and those around us.
Yeah.
But it all depends on, do you want to choose to love the king? I mean, he's not going to force that on you. And the choice you get to make today is, Jesus, I'm going to ask you to come live in my life, forgive all of the selfishness or decisions that were poor in my life. And I want to ask you to live in me, clean me up, make me new. I want to live for you. I want to trust you. Would you give me those qualities that I might be a part of the solution, not just the part that wants to gripe about it?
Yeah.
Give me that kind of tenacity and courage and devotion and obedience that I can follow you with all my heart because I believe you died for me and you rose from the dead for me. Mm. And you promised that when I would declare that, yeah. you'd give me life eternal. So today, friend, we'd love to hear from you. And just send us an email. And you can just send it to prayer@sugarhillchurch.com, prayer@sugarhillchurch.com. And we're happy to reply to you with a few things to help you get started in your walk toward Absolutely. Being a mighty man for God or mighty woman for God. Thanks so much for joining us on this Independence Day weekend.
Yep.
And from the foothills here in the beautiful mountains in Black Mountain, thank you for joining us for Sugar Hill Church Online. And we look forward to seeing you next week at 9:15 or 11. Go in peace.